Merry Christmas. We're again so glad you joined us. Our prayer, our hope, our desire, what we've been lifting up is that God would bless you and change you, that he would transform your heart, my heart, that our lives would be made more in his image, that people would be blessed because of knowing us, not because of what we can accomplish on our own, but because of what God has done in us and what he wants to do through us. But Merry Christmas. Wish you the very, very best. Let us pray. Glorious God, you are so kind, you are so generous. We can never outgive what you gave in your Son, Jesus. We ask, Lord, now that you would help our hearts, our minds, everything about us, focus in on you for what you have for us. Help us not to miss it. Help us remember that in you, our lives make sense. In you, not only do we have a hope, but we have a future. In you are roots that go down deep. Can help us to be strong in you. Bold for you. Courageous even for you. We pray for wisdom. We pray for favor. We pray that our lives will be a blessing to others. Help us, Lord, now to fully embrace what you have for us. To not miss the opportunity we have. And knowing you deeper, following you closer, being your hands and feet in the world, helping others know the good news of your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Be blessed now, we pray. In your name, amen. We all come from someone, somewhere, something, a people, a place, a story. For the last several weeks, I've been talking to you about the roots of where Jesus comes from. We've been looking at various parts in the Old Testament, as I like to say, part one, that describe who our God is and what he's doing. And I just wanted to take a moment and talk to you about Christmas. Talk to you about, you know it's Christmas, and it starts early, and that's great, nothing wrong with that. But you know it's Christmas season when the lights come on. They're on the trees, they're on homes, just radiance everywhere, right? There's just everywhere you look, there's just thousands and thousands of lights. And there's something about that. There's something about how Jesus is the light of the world. That the world is a dark place. It's evil. It's ignorant. It doesn't even know how dark it is. I mean, the reality is Christmas shows us, reminds us of God's goodness, of his light. But again, it also shows us how dark and evil the world is. I mean, Jesus comes to a dark place. He's born in a manger, not brought in on a chariot, not brought in with all the glory that he deserves. No, he's given birth to this mother who's a teenage pregnant mother, unwed at this point. Got no hope when it comes to what the world thinks that they have to offer. And yet, God uses that to get into our mess, to help us to realize that we don't have to do it on our own. A lot of times, we can see Christmas and just everyone just, you know, yes, woo, Christmas, and it's a great time, and everyone gets together, and that's great. But the reality is there's nowhere in Scripture where it says, cheer up, just try harder. That if we pull together, we can make the world a better place. The Bible never says this. I mean, think about this. I mean, it's kind of like, if we just all get along, can't we just make the world a better place? It sounds good. But the reality is what we find is that the Bible teaches that that's not the case, that we don't have what it takes, that the answer doesn't lie within us. The answer lies outside of us, that we need a rescue. We need a Savior. It doesn't say try harder or cheer up. And so I just want you to think about the story of Jesus. I mean, things are really bad. We can't heal or save ourselves. Although things are dark, there is hope found in the story of Jesus. Let's jump into the text, what I mean by this. Again, just take this on. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters. This is where, if you had your Bible out, I would say underline in every respect like us. So that, and I would circle those words, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Whew. There's something going on here that God knew what we needed, knew that we couldn't do it on our own. And again, throughout part one, we see over and over again, people that had the answer couldn't actually live it out. People that had the medicine they found out they had the same disease and they couldn't deal with it. And so our God says, I need to become one of you and show you how to live and help you to live and then send my spirit. Text continues. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. So this Jesus becomes one of us, and because he becomes one of us, he understands our struggles. He understands our weaknesses. He understands our temptations. He understands the challenges we face. He knows those things and says, I am with you every step of the way. There's no other religion like that. There's no other God who knows us. He knows who we are because he was truly one of us, because he became one of us, living his life from infancy to adulthood. We know that he can empathize with our weakness as he becomes the doorway to the Father. As we surrender to him, we understand that we then come before the Lord. And the Lord is there for us, and he is interceding for us. This Jesus isn't just this God who did something way back. This is a God who did something way back and is still working it out in our lives this day, this night, and forevermore. He knows who we are. And something I don't want you to miss is our God suffered. God has suffered for us. And again, no other religion even has anything close that God suffered. That had to be courageous. I mean, no, he knows what it is like to be abandoned by friends, to be crushed by injustice, to be tortured, to die. He understands what it's like to lose everything. He knows what it's like to not have those who he loved and who he invested in there with him. God has suffered. We call this in the Christian theology and Christian terms, the incarnation. I'm not sure if that's ever really, you put your teeth into that and sunk into that and thought about that and pondered that. The incarnation is huge. I mean, it's absolutely just for me, it's massive. For me, it's one of the pillars of the faith. For me, to how to live my life, that he became one of us. I mean, he is like no other. There's a wonderful lady named Dorothy Sayers who wrote this a long time ago. She's a British essayist, and I wanted to read it to you, a novelist. The incarnation means that for whatever reason, God chose to let us fall, to suffer, to be subject to sorrows and death. He has nonetheless had the honesty and the courage to take his own medicine. He can exact nothing from man that he has not exacted from himself. He himself has gone through the whole of human experience, from the trivial irritations of family life and the cramping restrictions of hard work and lack of money, to the worst horrors of pain and humiliation, defeat, despair, and yes, death. He was born in poverty and suffered infinite pain, all for us, and thought it well worth his while. I mean, isn't that just beautiful how she put that? All for us. He did that. He became what we could not be. He paid the price for what we could not pay. He became one of us so that we could have a relationship with him. He knew our brokenness was real. He knew our sin would devastate and destroy. And he says, I'm coming anyways. There's this one phrase that was in the text, this great high priest, that Jesus becomes this high priest for us. And we need to think about what priest means. The most important role of a priest wasn't to lord over others, but to rather show how to become a place where heaven and earth meet. In other words, he calls us, he challenges us later on in the text to be those same priests with other people as well, to be a bridge, if you will. We are expressions of the Father's heart, carrying the spirit of the great high priest within us. How have you been a bridge for others this week, maybe this year. Where do you need to be a bridge for others? Your friends, people you work with, you go to school with, the people that God has surrounded you, that we call your front line. Where has God placed you where you spend the most time? How can you be a bridge to others to help them know there is hope? In the darkness, there is hope. In the darkness, there is a light. And that Jesus is this light. He doesn't say, save yourself. He says, no, you can't do it. I'm all in. I'm going to do it for you. It's just about us receiving it. But to be a priest means to mediate for others. To be a priest means to serve before God in worship. To be a priest means to teach or remind others where their dignity truly lies and whom their dignity and their identity is truly found. And that's in the Lord. You know, throughout carols, throughout the Christian story, we hear over and over again that this is good news. It's not good advice. It's not something you have to do or apply to your life. That's what advice is. It's about, okay, what can I do differently? Good news is about the work of God has already been done. You don't have to do anything. You just have to receive it. You don't have to do anything extra. It's just about receiving the gift. See, it's all about what God has done for us. It's God's activity. He's a light in the darkness. The world's hope comes from outside of it, not within you and within me. Oh, it's God's work for us. And it's really about, again, our response. Our response, Jesus gave himself to us, and we must give ourselves wholly to him. Let me say that one more time. Jesus gives himself to us, and we must give ourselves wholly to him. So what about your response? Where do you find yourself this Christmas? Are you able to respond and say, Lord, I know that I've been given just a little bit. I know I need to give you everything. Do you need to pray for courage so that you can make that prayer? Do you need to ask God to help you to not be afraid? That maybe there's areas in your life where you've been like, Lord, you're Lord here, but I don't want to give you this part of my life. Here's what I found over the course of some years journeying with the Lord. He's not satisfied with the leftovers, and he's incredibly patient with us. He knows the mess we find ourselves in. There's nothing you can tell God that he's going to be like, oh my, what you did what? Okay, right? He knows in spite of it, all our brokenness and sin for all of our time here. And he says, I love you anyways. Remember, there's nothing you or I can do to make God love us any less. There's nothing we can do to make God love us any more. It's about you and I learning every day to celebrate him, to worship him, to help others experience his joy. So whether you're at the dry cleaners, whether you're in the grocery store, whether you're in school, in class or something, or you're doing your business, sometimes we don't always feel it, right? I mean, Christmas season, sometimes people are, you know, seem to have this like, just this overall, overarching just passion, and just they seem to just have this, just again, this Christmas spirit about them. And that Christmas spirit is the Holy Spirit, don't get me wrong. And that's great when people have that. But the reality is some of us don't. Some of us are, maybe this is the first time we sat still enough to be reminded that it is Christmas, that God has come, and he has come, and he is going to bring, again, light, truth, justice. He's going to overcome evil with his good and with his love and with his kingship. Maybe it's not about being in the Christmas spirit, but it's about realizing and living out the Christmas truth in Jesus every single day. You and I learning to walk in step with the Lord. And so whether we feel or not, it's about us saying, Lord, not my will, your will. Lord, you take the lead and help me to follow. So where has God placed you? Where are you in life where you need to, your response needs to be, yes, Lord. Now what's the question? Yes, Lord, help me. Who in this world needs to know that God loves them? He's placed you around. You may be the only person that God, that they look to when it comes to who God is and what God's doing in this world. That's not to put pressure on you. That's not to make you feel like, oh my goodness, what am I going to say and how am I going to say it? And no, it's about you just realizing God is going to do the work. He's going to give you the words when you need the words. But it's about you and I making sure we're open and receptive, making sure there's nothing between God and us, that we confess our brokenness, we confess our need for sin, or our need for rescue, we confess that He is the only one true King, and then we say, Lord, help me to honor You today. Now, there's going to be times in our lives He's just going to send us, and we're going to go, and God's going to just make some things happen, and those are exciting times. There's also going to be some of us here that He's going to say, well, we need to have some more conversations. There's some things that we have to work out of you. We have to bring some healing in some areas in your life. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, and don't worry about how long it takes. God is into the slow. Okay, so be encouraged by that. If He wasn't, this could have been written in like one page, okay? our lives, he could just kind of take care of it and boom. But he doesn't want robots. He wants us to engage in a real relationship, to be one, to be in tune with Him. And I want to encourage you this Christmas season to know that God is working in your life. Give Him everything you have, because He's given you everything already. Be holy to Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for the joy. Thank You for the comfort. Thank You for the goodness of Your Son, Jesus. We ask, Lord, that You would take this time and bless it. Help us to have the courage to respond. Lord, You have given Yourself to us. Help us to realize we have to give ourselves wholly to You. We'll never regret it. We can never outgive You. You are so generous. You are so kind. You are so good. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for all that You gave up. Thank You for being our rescue and our Savior. Thank You, Jesus. Help us to adore You. Help us to love You. Help us to honor You in everything we do. We pray this in Your Son's name. Amen. The final word is this: tell the story by living the story. How you and I live is seen by others, right? I mean, what we do matters. How we treat others matter. There's going to be times you and I are going to blow it, okay? There's going to be times we're going to be tired, or we're grumpy, or just things just are not working for us, and we just sometimes think it's us against the world, and we have to stop in those moments and go before the Lord and seek Him and again develop this relationship with Him, asking God for that love, that joy, that peace, that patience, that kindness, that faithfulness, that goodness, that gentleness, that self-control. It's also known as the fruit of the Spirit, that as God works in us, as we learn to stop and rest in Him, our lives will be shaped like His. Our lives will have power. Our lives will make a difference in people's lives. That when we see it in life, we can point out it and say, that is beautiful. That is good. That is something from the Lord. Help us to honor that. When we don't see it, help us to be the bearers of that light. Not again by us just trying harder or just saying, let's cheer up and just maybe we just all work together, sing kumbaya. No, we need God's Spirit in us, His rescue, His grace, all dripping throughout our lives over and over and over again. We need to go back to the well and drink deeply from the living water God gives us in Jesus. And as we do that, we can tell His story by just living out our lives. Tell His story, again, by first giving yourself to Him and then asking God to help you grow in Him and flourish in Him. And as you flourish, then you'll be used to help others know Him every day. Now, it wouldn't be a time for us to gather together if we didn't have some homework. Okay, so hope you don't hate me for that. Next week, next Sunday, not Christmas Day, but the first of the year, Pastor George is going to be speaking on celebrating God all day, every day. And it comes from Philippians chapter 4. It's, again, only one chapter. You can handle it. Dig into it. It's a beautiful chapter. It's the first part of the Bible I've ever memorized. I did it with my mom, and I was a teenager. I was in high school. And she was asking about things about the Bible and what I knew and what I understood. And I was kind of like, I don't know, I'm reading. I don't know. There's a lot of things in there. And she said, oh, check this out. And it was Philippians 4. And man, it's a great chapter. And remember when you read this, that Paul who wrote this is in jail. Like, I mean, he's not living, he's not rolling, he's not living the high life, he's not loving, you know, everything about his circumstances. And yet, there's something that God does in the spite of his circumstances. It helps him to live out again the story of God. Wow, we have much to learn. On this Christmas, Christmas time, may we remember, by receiving the benediction, whose we are and who he is. Receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. Merry Christmas. We'll see you next time.